All right, guys, let's talk about what today is. Depending on what part of the world you're in, today is Cinco de Mayo, which means half of you are probably already one margarita in, or two or three. Don't lie to me, Joe. Cindy, I see you. Vicky, put those double fisters down. And the other half are stress eating chips because you are pretending to still care about work today at your desk. I mean, it's a cultural celebration. It's not just any normal Tuesday. So today is also the day after the Met Gala, which means the entire internet has opinions, none of which have been as unfiltered as the ones you're about to hear. And most importantly, today is the first episode of season 5 of Bridget Unfiltered. Welcome back. Pour something. We're going in. Season 5. Let me tell you what that actually means. All right. It means I have been doing this show long enough that I've had pretty much a full character arc. We're talking protagonist, antagonist, rock bottom moment, montage, comeback, the whole thing. Netflix would give me 4 seasons and a movie at this point. But ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing nobody tells you about, that building something from scratch, there will be seasons, literally seasons, where you are recording episodes in your car because the dogs won't stop barking in the house. And you're editing at midnight and you're asking yourself, is anyone actually listening? And then someone DMs you at 2 a.m. saying your episode got them through a really hard week. And you remember why you started. So that's what season 5 is all about. It's a season where I just stop leaving things on the table. So here's what's coming this season. We are expanding. We got new formats. We got deeper dives. We got more of the conversations that mainstream media just won't have. The Unfiltered Society is growing. And if you're not already a member, I'm going to give you a very good reason to fix that before the end of this episode. And yes, I got a new baby, you guys, Willow. Round of applause for the new baby of my clan. Charlotte and Willow. Charlotte and Willow are still my co-CEOs and will continue to be co-CEOs of Dirty Blonde Media, that is happily producing Bridget Unfiltered. They have approved this season. I mean, I had to bribe Charlotte with a little treat, but Willow was more than immediately on board, and that tracks for both of them, honestly. So, all right, let's ease into season 5. The only way that makes sense for a Cinco de Mayo happy hour drop about, we're going to talk about the Met Gala because it was yesterday, and fuck, do I have some thoughts. The 2026 Met Gala theme was fashion is art. Sorry, I hope you're not driving because even that put me to sleep. Co-chairs, Beyonce, Nicole Kidman, Venus, I'm turning into my mother where I can't pronounce names. Venus Williams and Anna Wintour. Honorary chairs, Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez Bezos. I'm going to let that lineup just sit for 1 second. All right, that's enough. If you're just a regular dude, you know, a heterosexual male, the ones that I tend to pine after, the ones that are emotionally unavailable, Beyonce, Nicole Kidman, Venus Williams, Anna Wintour, Jeff Bezos don't mean jack shit to you. However, this is huge. This is huge for the fashion community, but it's also big just for pop culture on its own. Jeff Bezos showing up as an honorary chair is almost as if he was allowed. And I love that for him. I love that Lauren manifested this. You know she did. I have questions, but I love it. The ring on her finger alone was worth more than the entire gala, so whatever. But here's my hot take. The Beyonce co-chairing problem. Let's start with her because I need to talk about this. We're besties. You're my best friend. We're FaceTiming. We're talking. She didn't just attend the Met Gala this year. She co-chaired. She co-chaired it. Do you understand what that means? It means that she's not a guest. She's not even a headliner. She is, in the most literal possible sense, running the room. And I think there's something genuinely fascinating about how we got here. Because 10 years ago, Beyonce was someone who showed up and people lost their minds. Now she shows up and she's in charge of the event. That is a different kind of power. That is a fame power. That is, Beyonce is an institution. And she bought the damn building and remodeled it. You know that meme that we say, well, not we say, but a lot of baddies out there, a lot of girls, they go, I'm coming back for the building from the people that used to make so much fun of me, blah, 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 blah. Honestly, good for her. It's the only acceptable ending to that arc that is Beyonce. And I mean, the fashion, don't get me wrong, again, if you're just a regular heterosexual male, the Met Gala is where you are just at your top of the top. You wear your most beautiful Schiaparelli. You just ooze in diamonds, depending on the theme. And apparently 2026 is the year that we collectively decided that clothes are just going to be optional at the Met Gala. And we are leaning in with sheer dresses. Sheer dresses were everywhere. Gigi Hadid was in custom Miu Miu. Cara Delevingne was in custom Ralph Lauren with a sheer black that I genuinely need someone to explain the structural engineering of, because how did that stay up? And I want to be clear, I am not here to body shame anyone. These women looked incredible, but I do have a question, and it's a genuine one. Is this sheer dress actually a bold fashion statement, or is it just the laziest pitch a stylist can make to a celebrity who already pretty much looks the best I would ever look on my worst day? Like, at what point does barely there just mean, listen, yeah, so Gigi, we basically ran out of ideas. So can you pull this off? Okay, let's go. That's all it is. And I want someone to show up to the Met Gala in a full Victorian ball gown with like 12 layers and a corset. That to me is a fashion statement. Unexpected, a little subversive, a little tantalizing. You're not showing skin. You're showing that sort of restraint from the Victorian era. That to me would be a real flex in 2026. But nobody asked me. No one asked me to be in The Devil Wears Prada too. So I'm just going to mind my own business. With the theme this year being fashion is art, which, okay, listen, I want to engage with this just a little bit seriously for a second before I say something mean. Fashion can be art. I went to a fashion high school. My major was fashion merchandising, and I absolutely love fashion. I think there's nothing more beautiful about a feminine woman's wardrobe and nothing more powerful than a strong gentleman's outfit. But the craftsmanship in a couture gown is genuinely extraordinary. Between the vision, the construction, the hours, and I'm not dismissing that, but quote, fashion is art, as a Met, can I not speak today? As a Met Gala theme. I'm trying to throw out the words that's in my brain and it's like a brain dump. But my actual take is that the Met Gala is not about art. It's not. Let's be real. It's about access. It's about who gets to be in the room. And the reason that we all are watching and hating on and making fun of, because raise your hand, I did, is not because we care about the Costume Institute, please. It's because it is the single most visible annual display of where the gates are and who's not allowed through them. You, my friends, are not watching art. You're watching the velvet rope, which is fascinating. And I think that's actually fine, as long as we're just honest about it. Because, all right, guys, it's not a museum. You're just flexing your access to Schiaparelli, Ralph Lauren, and the most beautiful gowns of gowns. And, you know, sometimes that's enough. Sometimes in this world, just tell us what you are and just be real about it, and we will take your word for it. And either we're going to merge left or we're going to veer right, but at least be honest about it. And all of this, oh, we're doing it for the Institute, we can just say it's a bunch of bullshit. This year, the Met Gala had quite a moment, and it's called the Lauren Sanchez moment. And I actually want to be thoughtful here because I think there's something real here. And this is just from my own perspective. Remember, if you've been following the show, me, Bridget B., as a former adult film star, I have different perspectives on things, and the journey is leading me elsewhere, more mainstream, and I still feel a certain type of way at certain things, but you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? So Lauren Sanchez Bezos, the honorary co-chair of the 2026 Met Gala. Now, you may remember that Lauren Sanchez was, for a period of time, one of the most tabloid women in America. And I'm not going to relegate the details because that's not what this is about. But what I'm saying is that that was her point of story. That was her narrative. And the narrative has completely and utterly changed. All right. She is now a philanthropist. Okay. She's a private astronaut. She is a New York Times bestselling author. And apparently, for as much as people want to make fun, is someone that Anna Wintour personally invited to co-chair the Met Gala. That is a complete rewrite. And hello, I am personally in my own. So I can kind of relate and hope it would be the same for me. But what I find that is genuinely interesting about her and all of this with the Met is because it raises a question that, do the story of the times change because the people change or because just the power changes? Is it her or is it Jeff's money or is it both or does it even matter? I'm just saying that the question is just worth sitting with, especially for women who've been handed a label that they didn't choose to have. I didn't choose to be called nothing but a whore, but that's what happened. And as I move on from it, that label just seems to just want to stick on there, even though I am pretty much on a road of celibacy at the moment. But okay, I digress. That's just my little couple minutes on the Met Gala for the boys in town who have no idea what it's about. But in case your girl wakes up tomorrow morning or she goes to bed tonight and she wants to talk to you about it, now you have some things to say. Okay, it is Cinco de Mayo. It is 5 o'clock somewhere. And if you are listening to this at your happy hour time, I want to ask you exactly, what are you drinking? What are you doing? Hope you're having a great time. If it's for you 5 o'clock, then it's exactly where I am, which means we are all officially in happy hour territory. You can't see, but my friends that are watching behind the scenes and beyond, I am happily launching something new today that I wanted to become a season 5 tradition. I'm calling it, and I'm very proud of this name, the Happy Hour Confession. Last season, we had Dear Bridget. But this season, we're going to have something a little different. Okay, here's how it works. Every episode, I'm going to share one thing that I've been holding back. Something that I've been sitting on, could be about the industry, could be personal, could be a hot take that I was scared to say out loud. And then I'm going to invite you to do the same. You're going to drop yours in the community, in the comments or DM, and the best one gets shouted out next week. So since this is the first time we're going to do it, we're just going to shout me out. So this week's happy hour confession is the very first one of my own. I almost didn't make season 5. Insert dramatic music here, not for dramatic reasons and not for anything that I want to get too into depth right now, just that there was a moment sometime around January where I genuinely asked myself if this was still the thing I was supposed to be doing, if the energy that it takes was worth it. And I decided that it was. I decided it was. I couldn't wait for the world to catch up. It's just a plus that it did. And it's a massive gratitude and appreciation that I have for you all who are listeners. But I want you to know that it wasn't automatic. It was definitely a choice. And I'm choosing it again today with this episode for season 5. I'm also choosing it because Charlotte and Willow have very expensive taste in dog treats. And this podcast is going to need to fund their lifestyle. So there are practical considerations, okay? Now, your turn. What's your happy hour confession this week? Drop it wherever you find the community. I read everything. Kim Kardashian. Okay, so as someone who based her entire Los Angeles Hollywood trajectory based off of Kim Kardashian, if you know, you know, I really thought that she would come out with something incredibly lavish. And her and Justin Bieber's wife, Hailey Bieber, kind of wore the same thing. And it's a suit that looks like armor. And I am trying to understand why it's such a thing. So, because her little sister did it also. So I'm going to write myself a note. Because I wonder. And if you know, then let us know. But what is this body armor thing? I will have a picture of it on the newsletter and I'll put it somewhere in the description. I'm writing it here just so you don't have to go look for it everywhere. Because if you search and your girlfriend looks at your search history, you'll be in trouble. I'm just looking out for you. See, I'm your wing woman. I am just looking out for you. So that is it for season 5, episode 1 of Bridget Unfiltered. We are back. We are loud and we're not going anywhere. If you listened all the way through, thank you. Thank you so much. Leave a review. Share the episode with someone who needs an unfiltered voice in their life. And I will see you next week. I am Bridget B. And this is Bridget Unfiltered.